remember what we're talking about here. This is a farming community. At first they said, I have no time for this. We'll wait till a better time. God told them, the reason why you're struggling right now, the reason why you're having problems, and he gave this imagery, I've said it every week, I want to say it again because I think we all can relate to this. It was like they were taking their money and putting it into a bag with holes in them. It didn't make sense. They were doing the work. They were thinking they were getting the results, but when it came time to either sell or use or purchase, there was never enough. Their clothes weren't enough. The food wasn't enough. And he basically said, it's because you focus so much attention on your own house that you've neglected true worship. You've neglected the source of all your provision. So they respond positively, though. They repent. They come back. They say sorry. And they recovered from response is to show allegiance more so to the world. To say, well, I guess I got to put more hours in. I got to put more time in. I got to keep going. And again, this isn't for people who are working hard. Because from the outside, like I said, obedience looks the same. This is something you have to ask yourself internally. Who has authority in your life? And this is the point of having. Are you able to recognize when you show more respect and authority to the world than you do to the Word and Spirit of God? And if you do recognize that, are you able to repent and back off? Or do you just keep doubling down on a bad gamble, a bad bet? But Haggai has one more message, and this one isn't for all the people of Israel, but it's recorded for us to read and see. He has a personal message for the governor of Israel. If we start in verse 20 of chapter 2, the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Now, if you remember, you just go up and look a few verses up, you'll see that this message came at the same time as the previous message. So last week's message that we went over, this came on the same day, the same month, the same time. And I also want you to remember that at this time, Zechariah too has begun his prophetic ministry in the same place. And so we can kind of see the person that God is talking about and how he is continuing to be dealt with by God later on, because this message is reserved for the governor, Zerubbabel. Now remember, the Persians sent down two representatives of the Israelite government into this land. You had Joshua the priest, who represented the religious institution, and you had Zerubbabel, the governor, who came from the line of David. He was honestly a successor to the throne of Israel. And the temple was to be rebuilt to be a center of cultural and civic life in that area. Because remember, in the Aryan cultures, the ancient Near East, religious life and personal life and professional life were not separate. They were all one and the same. And so it wouldn't be uncommon to have a local capitol building also serve as a temple. And in fact, if we look at this country, our original capitol Zerubbabel is going to become the signet ring of God. Many of us may not know what that means. What is a signet ring? Well, basically, it was the ring that a king wore that had an engraving or invention in which he would seal letters or official correspondence with in wax to show this came from his hand. It was a sign of authority, but not the authority of the ring itself. Yes, I guess if someone dropped the ring, it could be picked up and used for a while in a deceptive manner. But the authority rested on the person wearing the ring. And so he's telling Zerubbabel that he will be a sign of God's authority and God's will and God's power coming to fruition through his life. And so Zerubbabel's obedience includes him in the promise of these things. And this is a very different view than his ancestors, because if we just flip back a little ways to Jeremiah, we see this term signet ring has a lot of meaning for the leader or the political head of Jerusalem. As I live, declares the Lord in Jeremiah 22:24, though Kenaiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet ring on my right hand, yet I would tear you off, and it later says, cast that aside. So before the Israelites went into exile, the image they got through the prophet Jeremiah was that the leader of Israel was cast away and no longer represented the power and authority and will of God. And if you look at that chapter in Jeremiah, you'll see God makes this promise and says, you're going to die in a land of captivity. You will never be restored, talking to Kenaiah here, will never be restored to that previous position you had. And now, where Kenaiah was disobedient, when the Israelites were disobedient, leading them into captivity, now that they're back in the land, Zerubbabel's obedience has caused God to take that position again and place that sign of power back on his right hand and say, the nation of Israel will now be the tool of my will and my power, my authority. So much so that it's going to shake up the entire world. And so now Zerubbabel, even though his obedience probably signified this earlier, he has been given confirmation that Zerubbabel is an instrument of God's will. And how he leads the people of Israel is now carrying with it a divine authority. But the question many scholars have reading this is, did this happen? Like I said before, Zerubbabel kind of falls off the map. We see him mentioned again in Zechariah, but we never see him leading or being a part of a great turning of the nations. He kind of disappears after Zechariah. We don't see an immediate fulfillment of this promise, but we do see Zerubbabel's name again later in the scripture. When we look at the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1:13, and Zerubbabel, the father of Abiah, and Abiah, the father of Eliakim, father of Azor, we see he plays a prominent role in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And some of you may follow a theory in which Mark or Matthew and Luke give two different genealogies, where he appears there too, the son of Johanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Ner. We see that Zerubbabel is a key link in bringing about the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who was responsible different things God did to the Israelites because they neglected his temple and neglected the one that resided in the temple. And that's a way you can look and use that as a litmus test for your own life. Are you running into problems? Are you running into issues that may not make sense? Does it seem like you're throwing money into a bag with holes in it? Does it seem like no matter how many clothes you put on, there's never enough? Does it seem like when